Broadcasted live. Catch the podcast on kaya959.co.za.
Well, thanks so much for staying with us. I wanted us to really analyze what's been happening around the world in relation to how South Africa is going to react to this. Professor Siphamandla Zondi is on the line with us. Prof, thanks again for making time for us. Good evening and welcome. Professor Zondi, good evening and welcome. Are you able to hear us?
Hello.
Oh, your line is not great. Can you move around for us, Prof?
Oh, I have.
Excellent.
Sounds much
better now. Prof, your impression of the British elections?
The election, like all elections in the West, in the whole world that took place in the past month, just over 20 different elections.
Yes.
A signal, a sense of disruption with current across the board.
I'm going to try and see if you can move slightly for us again. Otherwise, we'll try call you back on a better line.
Is it better now?
Much better now. I think we're there. Yes.
All right. Yeah. Now, I think that all elections in Europe, including in the UK now and France yesterday, they all signal a sort of dissatisfaction.
Yes.
And disaffection.
Yes.
By the citizens generally.
Yes.
With the current ruling elite. They all good in promises,
yep.
But they struggle to translate the promises to live the reality, better realities, to measure them by. They're not going to measure them on how beautiful their words are and how great their plans are, but on whether this translates to improvement in the quality of life that they have. They are also getting disillusioned with the entire system,
both
the economic system, the manner in which it's been working, and back to the system and how it's been working, and the democratic system and how it has been working. You have been seeing a steady decline in voter participation across the world, as we experience ourselves, South Africa, with a decline in voter turnout. Voter participation has been in decline as a bit of a protest against the system, feeling that the vote is repeatedly all the time, but it needs to know or little change.
For both?
For
both the UK as well as France, there's always been a sense in this, you know, I'd say the past 5 years, that there is a sentiment that the Europe is moving to the right. A bit of a surprise that we are staying with the left, but is that sustainable?
Yeah, it moved to left this time. In very broad terms, from really very center left to a little left in center left in UK to really kind of more left in France. The reality is voters are moving. When we say voters are moving to the left, we are actually almost suggesting that people are deciding to move to the left because they found something attractive to the left. Something dissatisfaction with the right. We are wrong. People are moving from whatever it is that is an establishment to something else. So if the establishment is left, they move to the right. If the establishment is right, they move to the left. In these both countries, the establishment was set right on both cases in the UK and in France. The move has been to the left. And in a number of other countries, in Netherlands, in Brussels, in Belgium, in Germany, and the rest of the countries, the establishment has been center-left or more center-left dominated, then they move to the right. So it's not like they are shifting ideologically. They are simply doing what we call tactical voting. They simply punish one party by voting the other party, not by transferring their love from one party to another party.
Yeah.
They have got to a point, which many of us are now getting to, Well, you don't vote for a party that you love. Mm. It's not a romantic relationship.
Mm. Mm.
You vote for a party that you think it can signal to the other party what you want to do. Play the cards like you can. The party like your cards in a car.
Yeah.
You're not actually voting sentimental. You are voting strategically and tactically. And that is what is happening in Europe. So when you swing to this side or swing to the left, it's a dent at the left. It's not actually substantive to the left, which they were moving.
I want us to look at the U.S. elections now, and obviously we're building up to that. And what we've been seeing, there was the debate where everybody had concerns about Biden. Then he then came back with an interview, and there's still more concerns about Biden. In fact, he's having conversations, we're hearing, with some Democrats, and there's now momentum on whether he is the right candidate. What's your take on that?
Very laughable things about what is supposed to be a very well-established democratic system with a huge population, a voting population in excess of 100 million, and very experienced in voting, and some of the top scientists in the world, and all the best expertise. And there they are, they have to choose between Biden and Trump. You don't get your best that is out there. There's a lot of younger people even in Congress, a lot of younger people. It's just the force of the system that there they are, the Democrats are talking. I know that they were talking yesterday, they're talking again. I saw the Black Caucus, the Democratic Caucus as well, was talking again today. They're talking about, did we choose the right president? They've already chosen. The primaries have passed. They've already chosen, and so have the Republicans. They're just stuck with these two old people who are playing older politics and seem a little bit not on top of the issues and not even feeling in full control of themselves. It's really a serious decline in U.S. politics. I mean, it comes from the time of Doyle, of Bill Clinton, or the more recent one, Barack Obama against Hillary Clinton, younger, more energetic, and moving. And now you have these two really serious elderly people who can't string sentences that make sense together. One a former president that you put it out, now you want to move it. It's just a chaotic system. It's just a signal of what the state of the of democracy in the United States is. And taking it for granted for so long that it can produce such terrible outcomes for them. That is now comparable to younger democracies that are still finding their footing. It's a tragedy for them, I think.
Do you think this is going to lead to a Trump win? What do you think this is going to mean? Sticking with Biden, what do you think it's going to mean for the Democrats?
But definitely now, the U.S. citizens are not going to win. Well, they've got two really bad choices. One of them is going to win, and no one is going to win. Therefore, it's dead for the U.S. Things move along this line. Trump might just pick Biden because Biden is a dedicated. Biden was always a starter. Not a stutterer. He's not a very eloquent person. Always a little slower. And all of that. But now with old age catching up on him, he's become worse. He gets lost. And then he says he's the first black woman in his cabinet. And all of those kinds of things. I mean, he's going to, this one must go to old age home now. But for this reason, Trump might just win because he's a little bit more alert. He's very strong and very clear. He knows his constituency and he appeals to it. And the use of the justice system to try and exclude him seems to have not worked at least up to this point. And so he might just get pardon, but it would be like another 5 years of USA. They've had five years of him. They might have go to a third one of really unimpressive, lackluster presidencies.
What would a Trump win mean for South Africa, even the continent at large?
Very little. They're very little, just as the Biden win meant very little.
Mm.
It was the win of Obama that gave us symbolism, but nothing concrete.
Mm.
It made us feel that there's a black person in Parliament in the U.S., and that was it. Actually, we benefited most in concrete terms when a Republican was in power who was called George W. Bush.
That's correct, yeah.
Because that's where Goa took place, that's where it was expanded, and that's where PEPFAR, that huge finance system for health took place. So a new regime for food aid happened. That's where also they expanded their trade relations with Africa.
Mm.
It was the George W. Bush, the Republican. Though Africans and South Africans tend to think that the Democrats are their friends, but if you look at a flow of value, it is actually Republicans that produce Africa.
Mm.
It's a strange thing. Mm. The only thing is that a Trump might just again insult us again and stuff like that. Mm. But you know, there's this thing that it says that if there's an uncle who is rich in the village and grew up in the village and he drives a Casina, a beautiful Casina, and then he will insult you, but he will also buy you cabbages and stuff. We're like, let's ignore the insult and look at what value we can derive from it.
Really appreciate your time, Professor.
You know those answers?
I do know them. I definitely know them. Appreciate your time and your insights, Professor Spamanda Zondi.
Yeah,
appreciate it. Thank you so much. It's 10 o'clock.
Yeah.
We are back tomorrow at 8.
And if you missed it live, catch the broadcast on kaya959.co.za.